for time won't matter anymore. You'll learn I'm longing for you, and someday on me I'll stand.
I'd like to ask the children to come forward for our children's moments. How are you all today? Y'all doing all right? Y'all are so excited you're rendered silent. It's crazy.
My daddy got a haircut.
Yeah, your daddy got a haircut. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's not about me, though, son. Thank you, though. Appreciate that. Thomas has brought our bag today, and what do we have in there? A dinosaur. Toy dinosaurs. What kind of dinosaurs are those? They both eat plants. All right. Okay. Well, how long ago do we see dinosaurs today? No, but we know they existed, right? Why do we know they existed? Because we see bones, right? And we see evidence, and we go maybe to museums. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And when we see dinosaur bones, we know that they existed, and we learn about what they did and kind of learn about what they are. And as Christians, we worship Jesus, right? And we know that he lived on this earth thousands of years ago, not quite as long ago as the dinosaurs did. And how do we know that he existed? Well, we have scripture that tells us that, right? We have other people that tell us about him. And so we've got some tradition. And so when we go to museums, we have the opportunity to learn all there are about dinosaurs, right? And to learn kind of what they did. And when we come to church, we have the opportunity to learn all about Jesus and the things that he did. And we have the opportunity to hear about him and to know more about him and to know what it means to be followers of Jesus. And so just as we have evidence of dinosaurs that lived years ago, so we have evidence of Jesus, and we get to be that evidence from time to time, all right? So I want us to remember today that though we've never seen dinosaurs, we know they exist, and though we may have never seen Jesus on the earth, we know he exists as well, okay? All right, thank you very much. Oh, well, we won't tell anybody that. Now, Thomas, who would you like to give the bag to this week? Huh? You have one more question. Okay, what? Yes. Yes. This is more of a statement than a question. Yes, they did. Okay, who are you going to give the bag to? We've got who? Him? Do you want the bag? All right, what's your name?
Well,
huh? Clay? All right, Clay's going to get the bag this week. And next week, Clay will get to pick who gets the bag then, okay? All right, so let's pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. Lord, we thank you for your earthly existence and what it means for us. And Lord, may we continue to have the faith and the hope of what your existence meant and continues to mean for us. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for these children, the opportunity we have to teach them, and also the opportunity we have to learn from them. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. Okay. All right, go with your friends. Very cool.
Hey, why did Lucille sit on that?
I don't know. All right, you go.
Proud asks Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, a person's life isn't determined by their possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then Jesus told them a parable. A certain rich man's farm produced a bountiful crop, and he said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I will do. I will tear down my grain bins and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, tonight you will die. Now, who's going to get all the things that you've prepared for yourself?' This is the way it will be for those who hoard up things for themselves and aren't rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alan. Light keeps flickering. It's kind of like the light bulb in my head. It's not always on all the time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, we thank you so very much for this day. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be together. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of your word. May what has been read speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to comprehend. Lord, and give us the strength in our bodies to do your service. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. This is one of Jesus' parables. Jesus has a whole cadre of parables, a whole list of parables that he shares with his disciples and consequently with us. And as with most parables, the one before us today is in response to people asking him self-serving questions. Jesus, I want what my brother has. Will you please make sure that that's what I get? The grass tends to be greener on the other side of the fence, or at least we perceive it to be so, and so we come to Jesus with these types of questions and these types of requests. Ironically, immediately after verses 8 through 12 in this chapter of Luke, we have Jesus speaking of himself as the Son of God and talking about the authority that he has, and so it almost seems appropriate that this guy would come to him and say, "Teacher, would you please mediate between me and my brother? Would you please help figure this dispute out?" And Jesus questions him and says, "Is my role that of a mediator between you and your brother?" And indeed, when we hear Jesus ask this question, we get how silly this question really is, and maybe how silly some of our requests to God are from time to time, because Jesus has not come to mediate between our family squabbles, has he? He hasn't come to mediate between these petty things that we spend or tend to spend way too much time on, does he? That is not why he has come. He has come to be the Savior of the world, and we must begin to look at the world from a comprehensive point of view, and we must begin to look at the world beyond just our understanding of it, because that is where we will meet God. That is where we will see him. That is where we will commune with him, as we have the opportunity to do so. Jesus speaks and closes this passage in verse 21 by telling us to be rich towards God. Don't be rich according to the world's standards, but be rich toward God. What's interesting and what's maybe frustrating about this is he doesn't tell us what this looks like, does he? He doesn't say, here's the seven keys to success, or here's the three things you can do to be rich towards God. He doesn't give us any kind of parameters for what this looks like. In fact, his parable shows us what not to do. And so if we find ourselves in the shoes of this rich man, we know we've gone the wrong way, right? We know we've done things that are not what we are supposed to do. We know from this passage not to be greedy, not to hoard things. Hoarding has become somewhat of a hot kind of thing. Has anyone ever seen the show Hoarders? Right? And we watch this and we just kind of stare at it in amazement at these things. And I think Abby actually knew somebody that was on the show, or somebody from your hometown. It wasn't her family or anything like that. I'm not. What? No. But his parable shows us what not to do, not to be greedy, not to hoard things. And so we must consider the pitfalls today of hoarding and see how we can be rich towards God instead. How might we store up those treasures in heaven? Those things where moth will not destroy, where rust will not be there. And so there are a few things for us to consider this morning about what hoarding does. And the first thing we need to be mindful of is that hoarding turns us inward. When we hoard things, when we gather things, it turns us inward. The phrase or the word I, me, my, you, as if he's talking to himself, occurs 19 times. In these nine verses. Okay, we are plainly obvious, and it's plainly obvious of who this rich man is concerned about. Me, myself, and I. And I venture to guess that many of us in here tend to worship the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, rather than the holy trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if that's you this morning, then listen up. Got some things to tell you. And we're all guilty of this. looking out after our own interests. And instead of recognizing God's blessing on him, instead of recognizing what God has done in his life so that he might then help others, the rich man wants to hoard everything for himself. We notice in what he says to himself and how he conducts himself in this parable that he has no desire to help anybody. He is going to build some bigger barns so that he can store all of his all the things that he has gained and all the things that he has done. In fact, he's going to tear down the old barns and build bigger ones, and in so doing, he's going to have all that he needs to take it easy, to sit back, to relax. I have a feeling that he's probably going to sell these at a very extravagant price if things tend to get a little lean in the coming years, because that sounds like the type of guy that he is. And you'll notice he doesn't even mention that he's going to give anything back to God. There's no mention of a tithe. There's no sense of a thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Now let me return the favor. Let me give back to you so that others may have. Being inwardly focused means we blind ourselves to God and to others. Has anyone here ever been blind to God or to other people? The needs of others? We think if they want it bad enough, they'll figure out how to get it. We don't have to worry about them. Let's just worry about ourselves. Our gifts and our blessings, believe it or not this morning, are given to us for the common good. Paul tells us very plainly in 1 Corinthians that the gifts and the talents that we have are to be used for the common good. They're not something for us to hoard for ourselves. If you have a gift or a talent this morning, well, all of you have a gift, and let me rephrase that. You all have gifts and talents this morning. And if you're not using them for the common good, what good are they? Do you really have a gift or a talent if you're not sharing that and paying that forward to others? Maybe you're building bigger barns in your own life and not allowing others to experience God's grace through your acts of mercy and generosity. Being a steward, as we are called to do, means appropriating our gifts so that everyone is blessed. Appropriating the things that God has given to us so that other people receive, just as we have received. Your gifts are not your gifts alone. There's a fine line between hoarding and saving, isn't there? So we have to ask ourselves this morning, how do we turn ourselves outward? How do we turn from people that hoard gifts and blessings from God to people that share blessings with God? Well, John Wesley, I've quoted him a few times, and I'm a big fan of his. He has a sermon, and it's called The Use of Money, and he gives us three very easy steps when it comes to God's blessings. And maybe you've heard this before. Don't stop me if you have, but I'll go anyway. He says, gain all that you can. Save all that you can, give all you can. It is not a sin to make money this morning. Can I get an amen on that one? A few, all right. Yeah, amen. The rest of you, I don't care about money. Gain all the money that you can. It's not a sin to make money. It's not a sin to be blessed by God. He says then, save all you can. Put as much of it away as is appropriate, and that you are able to do so for the various responsibilities and tasks that you have. And these first two really aren't a problem for most of us. Gain and save, gain and save, gain and save. No problem whatsoever. And then he hits us with this last one. Give all that you... Well, hold on, preacher. Why are you talking about money? I haven't been here long enough for you all to say all you ever talk about is money. But it may come up eventually. What is the thing Jesus talks most about in Scripture? Does anyone know? He talks about the kingdom of God, first and foremost. The second thing that he talks about the most is, I heard somebody say it earlier, money. Oh, geez. Oh, my goodness. People say I don't talk enough about hell. That is one of the few, that's one of the things Jesus talks about the least, because he knows money is a bigger problem for us than hell at this point. Gain all that you can, save all that you can, give all that you can so that others will be blessed. So that others will know and experience the grace of God. Did you know that you have the opportunity to be a conduit of God's grace in someone else's life? Are you aware of that this morning? We can only do that if we are being obedient and giving all that we are able to give to others. Hoarding turns us inward, and it causes us to focus very narrowly on ourselves. The second thing that hoarding does is it creates anxiety or problems that don't need to be there. We got a lot of problems, and most of those problems are self-inflicted. We've got a lot of worries, and I'd say most of those worries are self-inflicted. And I would venture to guess that a lot of these stem from our need to hoard and gather and collect and keep. The more he had, the more the rich man needed to protect what he had, right? And so again, in verse 18, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones so that everyone can see how great things are for me, so that I can keep all of my things protected and safe, so that I will be okay. The irony, I think, of us wanting more. How many of you all have ever asked or told yourself, if I had just a little bit more, I'd be okay. I'd be happy. Yeah, we all have said that. Just a little bit more. And we know that that's not true. The irony of wanting more is that we're unable to enjoy it because we're worried about what? We're worried about losing it, right? And then paranoia begins to set in. I used to be a youth leader in Stanford, and please continue to pray for those that I had oversight of. At that young, tender age. But I used to tell them all the time, if you become rich or famous, I'm going to call you and I'm going to ask you for money. I'm not going to want to know how you're doing. I'm just going to want money. I'm just going to call you and ask for it. Just kind of letting them know that. It was a joke with them, but that paranoia begins to set in every time the phone rings. Is somebody wanting something? Is somebody needing something, right? And we have that paranoia when we have more than we need. More than we should, maybe. The irony of wanting more is that we're unable to enjoy it. As Christians, as the church, we need to ask ourselves this morning, is giving driven by our mission of making disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world? Or is mission limited by our giving? We sure wish Petrie was doing this or that, but we just don't have it in the budget. Just not there. If only we had this, we could do that. Well, if God can't trust us with a little, he's certainly not going to trust us with a lot. Is giving driven by mission, or is mission limited by giving? Are we anxious with our giving, or are we faithful with our giving? The rich man, it obvious, becomes a slave to what he has held most dear, and that, of course, for him is money, it's possessions. And we know from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we can't serve both God and money. And so how do we solve our problems? How do we lessen our anxiety this morning? Because really, that's what we all want, right? We want to worry less. We want to enjoy life more. We must get past this idea that the prosperity gospel promotes. The sense of, if I do good things, God will bless me richly. And if I haven't been blessed richly by God, that means I haven't been faithful enough. The best way to be a blessing this morning is to bless others with your blessings. Can we freely give this morning, knowing that God may only bless us by being a blessing? Can we be okay with that? Or do we think we should get more in return? How many of you have ever given a gift to somebody and you seemed to enjoy the giving more than they maybe enjoyed the receiving? Now, that doesn't speak to the horribleness of the gift you gave, but you got something out of giving, right? And you got that blessing, and that's something money cannot buy. Why don't we chase that feeling more? I don't know. Hoarding turns us inward. It causes and creates anxieties and problems that don't need to be there. Finally, hoarding makes us lazy. He says to himself, self, in verse 19, take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Can I get an amen on that one? The rich man here is quoting from Isaiah 22:13. The only problem with this quote is that he doesn't quote all of the verse in its entirety. Does anyone know how this verse ends? Eat, drink, and be merry. It's up there. Yeah, of course it is. I keep forgetting that it's up there. For tomorrow we die. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. For tomorrow we die. Hoarding, along with other areas of weakness, causes us to pick and choose what we think the Bible should or shouldn't say, doesn't it? To justify why we should or shouldn't do something. Well, Matt, I have this, that, and the other, and I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to do this because Scripture tells me X, Y, and Z. In seminary, the first day, they wrote on the board CIE across the board. Does anyone know what CIE stands for? Context is everything. Don't just grab a verse out of Scripture to make yourself feel better about your hoarding problem or whatever other issues you may have. What does all of Scripture have to say about that? Now, it's important for us to know that Luke has a very low view of rich people. And he makes that plainly clear. Every seven verses in Luke, on average, talk about money and the problems thereof. So we need to keep that in mind. But still, how often do we justify ourselves by grabbing a little snippet here or a little snippet there? And really what we've done is we've been lazy with our reading of Scripture. We've been lazy with how we view God. We've been lazy with what we think God expects of us. We need to temper our desires with God's plan for us and for others. Because believe it or not, God has blessed you so that you might bless others. So how do we overcome this laziness? I think the first and most important thing is we remember that work is a gift from God that he has tasked humanity with. He's asked us to have oversight of the earth and its resources. Work is a gift from God, believe it or not. My grandpa used to always tell me, Matt, find a job that you love and you never have to work another day in your life. And that's great advice. I'm going to alter it slightly this morning. Find what God is calling you to do and you never have to work another day in your life. That's not to say that it doesn't have its difficulties. It's not to say that there aren't issues or problems that arise, but you know that you are doing what you have been called to do. Most people hate Mondays. I blame Garfield for that. They hate the first day of the week. I love Mondays because I get to think about all the things that took place on Sunday. I get to think about everything that's going on. I get to prepare for next week. And I love it. As bad as some of my days are as a pastor, I wouldn't trade it for the world because I know it's what God has called me to do. And if you can find that in your life, then you've got it. And you're going to be able to bless others. And you're not going to have this need to hoard things for yourself, but you're going to be ready to share it with others. And we remember that this work is not only for ourselves, but our work is for the good of all the created order, for everything that God has placed under our control and under our oversight. I hope and pray this morning that we will seek to be rich towards God, and that we will do so by gaining, saving, and giving all that we can. I pray that we do so by freely giving without any need or desire to receive anything materially back. And that we would be busy with God's good work. Because if we're doing that, then we're not hoarding. But we are appropriately stewarding all that we have been given. Let us not hoard our riches, but let us share them freely as Christ has shared them with us. Gracious Heavenly Father, remind us today and always that as citizens of the United States of America, we are wealthier than 98% of the rest of the world. Help us to remember that though at times we may have it difficult, there are always others who have it more difficult. May we not be so focused with what I have and be more focused on what you have asked of me. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.